Today on Real Life Radio.
I said, you need to be very careful who you reveal to about you being a Christian. Pastor, I thought we're supposed to preach the gospel everywhere. Listen, when God tells you to preach the gospel everywhere. But God also said, be careful you don't cast your pearl before a swine.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Philippians with the message titled, Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 2. You know, the Book of Philippians is a letter from the Apostle Paul, as he now emphasizes the remarkable struggle that exists in the life of every true believer. You see, we can have religious zeal for the things of God, but that doesn't mean we're born again, or what the Bible calls born of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we do, it's something we yield to by totally surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ. We will not be perfect until we cross over into heaven, but we really ought to keep pressing forward until we finally do. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the Christian life is like being a sprinter and a championship prize fighter all at the same time. We're to run in such a way to receive the prize, and we're to fight the good fight of faith for our imperishable crown of righteousness. Before we get into today's message, I want to let you know that if you miss a few episodes in this series, you can always catch up at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Now, with his message called Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Sometimes, as we read in the Bible, there are knucklehead moments when people decide, I'm going to be a prodigal son. Not a good thing. You're going to get hurt. It's going to mess up your life. But you get full of yourself. I'm going to do this. Maybe you're here today. And you're that way right now. I'm going to do what I want to do. Are you a Christian? Yes, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Well, if you're a Christian, look, if you're not a Christian, then go do whatever you do. If you are a Christian, you're going to be the most miserable sinner in town. Because God will not allow you to be happy in that sin. You'll be miserable. You'll be a prodigal, and you'll be miserable the entire time. That's a beautiful thing. When we see real Christians that are living in sin, it's a beautiful thing to see. Hey, how are you? Fine, how are you? Well, you look terrible. I'm all right. Or when you ask them, are you okay? Why are you asking? Oh, they're miserable. They can't even sin right anymore. It's beautiful. Why? Because God's with them. He's convicting them. David said in Psalm 139, where shall I flee from your spirit? What's the answer to that, anybody? Nowhere. You can't outrun him. So maybe you're a Christian today, but you're far from God and you're running. You may be far from God, but listen, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. And you know what? He will not relent in pursuit of you until he gets you across the finish line. The Bible says, this is radical. Listen, I do not encourage this. But Paul the Apostle, when he was writing to the church at Corinth, says, though I be absent, I now make this judgment as though I were there. Listen to this. It sounds like we're reading something right out of a sitcom or some soap opera in Hollywood. There is a report among you that a young man has his father's wife in a sexual relationship. His stepmom. In the Bible. Paul says, take this brother. Brother? Paul says, take this brother, cast him out of the church, so that Satan will destroy his body, that his soul may be saved in the day of Christ. That is radical. How committed is God to get you across the finish line? So much so that he'll put up with so much. Now, listen, please don't misunderstand me here. We shouldn't put ourselves through that kind of trauma, nor take God with us in that. Obey God and live. But his salvation is so powerful. His commitment is so sure that he will stay with you. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What a great statement. To me, that's beyond comprehension. I don't understand it, but I believe because that's what the Bible says. And this is, I think, part of the pursuit of my heart is that God is good. You know, the Bible tells us that it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. And you want to walk with him. We saw here now, and we look again in verse 12 where he says, but I press on. This is something that it's greater than your ability in your salvation. This is something. God puts it in us. Circle the word press in your Bibles. That word press means to be in pursuit of or to lean forward into, to be locked on or to be possessed by. It's a very powerful word. It means by divine revelation and divine relationship that God is pressing you on, pushing you as it were. It's like Paul spoke about regarding a runner, a sprinter. He likens the Christian life. And church, I want you to, and we should all be judging ourselves right now. Is this true about our lives? Let's evaluate ourselves. Paul relates it to like a sprinter in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. And I have to ask myself, Jack, does this describe my Christian life? Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Church, we just got done watching the Olympics. Are there not a lot of people lined up at the starting gate in the blocks? A lot of people. But one receives the prize. Is that not true? Well, they all start great. And for the first, what? For the first 3 feet, they're all tied. Right? It all looks good for everybody. But Paul says, by the time they come to the end, only one wins the prize. He says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They exercise self-control. They're seeking God, asking God for help. Not that they would obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. That is a great word. It would imagine they're sprinting down the 100 yards or 100 meter, whatever it is, and one guy is out running around in the infield going in circles. That's what that word means. Don't leave the course and do donuts out in the infield somewhere. Wouldn't that be funny? What's that guy doing over there? Paul said, don't do that. Don't go off. Don't go be a prodigal. God's got a plan. Don't do that. He goes on. He says, thus I fight. Now he switches to a combat mode, as it were, not as one who beats the air. He's talking about a boxer. When a boxer is fighting, he fights with a plan. He doesn't lay himself open. He's both protecting himself, but he's looking for the opportunity to land a blow. Be strategic, critical about your life. He says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. What great advice. As the Holy Spirit presses Jesus, think of this, as the Holy Spirit, that's his job, is to press Jesus into your life and my life. He does that by the word of God. This is what makes it fun as a believer, challenging, exciting, is that when we leave this building today, the Holy Spirit, after having pressed Jesus by the word into our hearts, this is where we become that holy priesthood, that royal priesthood, that holy nation that Scripture talks about. We go out into the world and we press now, God, the Holy Spirit, through our lives, presses now Jesus in our lives into the presence of the world or into others. That's how we're a witness. Isn't it amazing that God has called each and every one of us as believers to make an impact wherever we're at? We need to be wise about this. I met with someone recently who is in a very public position. And because of that public position, can make a great influence. And so the question was asked, how do I represent Jesus in the platform that God has given me? And my answer to them was kind of shocking. And yet I want you to hear me out. I said, you need to be very careful who you reveal to about you being a Christian. Pastor, I thought we're supposed to preach the gospel everywhere. Listen, when God tells you to preach the gospel everywhere. But God also said, be careful you don't cast your pearl before a swine. There are people that you discern that you know that have no appetite to hear about your Jesus. Are you saying that I shouldn't tell everybody? That's exactly what I'm saying. You don't tell everybody. There are some people you tell, and then there are people who could turn and rend you. Jesus says, don't say anything like that to them. Don't cast the pearl before swine. You say, what is that a compromise? No, I'm not done. This is what you do. When you're in a hostile environment, think about that for a moment. It could be politics, could be the entertainment industry, it could be the culture that we're in right now. Here's what you do. You tell people as God prompts your heart. Listen to the Spirit. Secondly, when you're in an audience that doesn't want to hear it, here's what you do. Lord, I will speak your truth to anyone at any time. In this setting, you bring to me those that want to hear. Can you handle that? Consider the alternative. You go to work tomorrow, and you take your milk carton and milk crate, and you stand on top of it in the middle of the office, and you say, "Repent! You're all going to burn in hell, except Jesus." Okay, you just ended any chance of leading anybody to Christ. Don't do that. But go to work tomorrow when you pull up in the parking lot. Say, "Lord, you are God. I am here. Open the door according to your will. Bring those who are open. Bring them to me, Lord. I believe in divine appointments. You can meet me anywhere, God. If you want me to speak to that person, if you want me to speak to that guy or that politician or that whoever it is, then have them come or open the door and make it obvious. And I'll speak." And you watch what happens. God will use you. And I believe that's part of the fight. I believe that's part of the race.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12 says this. 1 Timothy 6, 12, fight the good fight. Doesn't that sound militant? I love it. Fight the good fight. That's a command to all of us. Lay hold on eternal life. What does that mean? That doesn't mean you earn it. That means you, listen, you grab onto eternal life. Don't let go. You said, is it up to me to hang on? Listen, you're to do your part. You're to pursue God. Didn't God say, I will be found by you if you search after me with all your heart? I don't even have the ability to do that. I'm not only ADD, I'm just flat out, I don't know what I am. But this thing I've concluded, when I look around my house and I see that there's projects that I started 30 years ago, I think I have a problem. I am terrible. I'll start mowing the lawn and I'll see something. You know that cartoon Up? Was it Up? With a dog, squirrel. Lisa says that to me all the time. She goes, squirrel. I'll be mowing the lawn. And it's like, oh, what? It's terrible. And I'm supposed to hang on to eternal life? I believe Jesus gives me the ability to hang on to eternal life. I believe Jesus puts it in my heart. I believe every morning you and I wake up. Don't you sense it? Don't you sense it? When you wake up every morning and you can sense the Lord saying, good morning. Do you know what I'm talking about? He may say it different to you, like get out of bed. But have you noticed he's saying something to you? Have you noticed that I understand that you're just kind of like, whoa, what day is it? And then within nanoseconds of time, though, as a believer, your thought is, God, and it's a sweet thing, Lord. He's so good. And so 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, lay hold of eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This is part of fighting the fight. This is part of what God's called us to is greater than our abilities. And I'm glad about that. We're not Christians based on our abilities. We're Christians because God is good and he saves and he empowers. Again, Paul talks about a marathon runner in this case, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have finished the race. He's at the end of his life. I tell you what, in my opinion, 2 Timothy 4 is one of the most emotional chapters. I don't know why it always affects me. Now, I'm not going to cry in front of you. I'm okay. But I'm just telling you, you cannot read this. And you know the history of what's about to happen, and he knows it. It just pulls your heart out. Because Paul now, some of us have been there together at the Mamertine prison in Rome. It was Paul's last place on earth before they cut off his head. Rome. This is what he said, his last words. I finished the race. I want that. You know what? Wouldn't that be great on your tombstone? I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. I love this way of thinking, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. Church, listen, Paul is sentenced to getting his head cut off, and he says, there's a crown of righteousness that awaits me. Can you imagine the executioner saying, Paul, listen, I love you, man, you're great. Sorry I got to do this to you, but I'm under orders. But did you not hear? I'm going to cut your head off. Yeah, yeah. You know what? There's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Paul, crowns go on heads. You're not going to have a head soon. Listen, a lot of us as Christians think like that sometimes. Oh my goodness. Oh, what's going to happen? And what about this? And what about that? Listen, this is not all there is. We are living for another world that's on the other side of our next breath. But what if they do this? What if they do that? It doesn't matter. We are living. We are citizens of heaven. We're living for heaven. That doesn't mean we're irrelevant in this world. In fact, I believe because we are living for heaven, we are absolutely to be relevant in this world. I'm holding back right now about what I think of that. We are to be so relevant, representing heaven, that frankly, it should divide people in a godly way. Charles Spurgeon called those blessed subtractions or blessed divisions. We should stand for the truth in such a way, listen, it has nothing to do with our ability. We have simply come to understand that the word of God is true. We stand on his word and we just let it do its thing. We present the truth in love. As a Christian, I'm grateful to the Lord that the ability, the call is from him. And would you agree? Do you sense the Lord in life, as it were, pushing you, prodding you? Is that the right word? Prod, prodding, pulling, poking. Do you sense him in your life, doing that, bringing you along? I think Jesus put it this way. Come and follow me. It's an offer. You choose. That call upon people. Some people say, I'm not interested. But when the offer came to you, sometimes in an instant, maybe sometimes over time, doesn't matter. You responded. And Jesus says, come and follow me. And you're following him. Do we have victories? Oh, yeah. Do we have defeats? Yep. What do? Keep following him. What kind of day are you having? I mean, you guys are awesome. It's first service. You haven't had much time to make mistakes today. It's first service. Good for you. Right? I mean, good for you. That's awesome. I have good news for you, though. There's a lot of grace ahead of us today. Right? There's a lot of grace. And if you're not a Christian today, but you're religious, you'll say things like this in your mind. Oh, that's so good to hear. A lot of grace. Whew, I can go send up a storm. There's a lot of grace ahead of me today. Listen, do you know a real believer can't think that way? This is so serious. I could end this message right now. In fact, what I'm about to say, I could have said it 41 minutes ago and left the building. It's simply this. If your mind, if your very being is, I want to pursue Jesus, I have not apprehended that very thing for which Christ has apprehended me for. I am not complete. I am not perfected. But this, I press on in pursuit of him. That when the opportunity to sin comes before you, there's a huge tug by your flesh. Oh, that's going to feel good. Oh, that's going to smell good. Oh, that's going to. And the Spirit says, no, it's not good. It's not right. It's not pleasing to him. And your mind will go with whatever's the loudest. And whatever you've sown to will be the loudest. And you'll hear his gentle voice say, Jack, follow me. And I have found in my life that that following comes by him prodding, pushing, pulling, tugging, whispering, sometimes in a way almost yelling. I want to show you a picture, and this is a wonderful thing. Look at this. Look at this picture. You guys familiar with this? It's kind of famous, huh? It's amazing. First of all, look at her. Look carefully. Whose foot is across the line? The girl on the right, correct? So if I were to ask you, who won this race? Oh, Oscar, you already knew this answer. If I were to look at it just at the finish line, I mean, listen, isn't this message is entitled Until We Cross the Finish Line. If I had to make a judgment, I'd say the woman on the right. She even looks like she's winning. She even looks like a winner. Look at her. It's like, yes. She's got it. But the winner, as Oscar just said, is on the left. Let me read something to you. This is what the woman on the left had to say when she found out she won. She says, forget her name, by the way, she says, diving headfirst across the finish line isn't a strategy used by most runners. In the 1500 meter run, she says, in the Diamond League series, the world's best women's female 1500 meter run. The world championship gold medalist says, and here I quote her, I didn't mean to join the divers club, but was knocked over toward the finish line by a fellow competitor, and so I just went with it. Literally, close quote. In other words, she wouldn't have won unless someone pushed her. How do you handle these pushes? She says, I was pushed by a competitor accidentally, and I won. She was pushed into the winner. How do you handle life's pushes? Listen, Humpty Dumpty would say, I was pushed. I'm a victim. She would say, turned out good for me. Listen, two things. The world is going to push you, or God's going to push you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 2. We're so glad you took the time to be with us today. Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians, a letter from the Apostle Paul to remind us that this world will always try to push us towards defeat, but God will complete that work that he's begun in our lives. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Pastor Jack, let me ask you a question about years ago when you and I were a lot younger. Josh McDowell came out with Evidence That Demands a Verdict.
Yeah.
And there's an update. This is a big, thick book. It's a beauty.
It's over 750 pages.
That's great.
It's a reference book. People, listen, you don't sit down and read this all the way through. Your brain will blow up. It is an awesome work by Josh McDowell and his son, Sean McDowell. Evidence That Demands a Verdict has been one of the greatest evangelistic tools among those who doubt the existence of God. Get it? You'll be absolutely impressed, please.
Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World by Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.